Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
Great to have you back. It's great to be back today, as a matter of fact. You know, we had so much fun Friday night at our cabaret show. We may just make that a regular thing, Amy. Maybe we should just take it on the road. If you missed the show, our fine wine show, it's available on the video archive, and it was what it was. So it was a good time. So this is week number four of our annual Unity Awakening series of Sunday talks and virtual small groups this year, in which we are exploring the content from the material in the book, How Then Shall We Live? Four questions that reveal the beauty and meaning of our lives. And this book was first published in 1996 by Wayne Muller, and it seemed like the absolutely appropriate right material for this year, 2020. So just a brief recap, the four questions that we are exploring in this series are, who am I? What do I love? How shall I live knowing I will die? And what is my gift to the family of Earth? And last week, we leaned into the question, what do I love? And we landed on an answer that, depending on where you landed, could be a bit troubling. In essence, whatever gets your attention is what you love. So let's recap that very quickly. Whatever gets your attention is what you love. Hopefully, what gets most of your attention anyway are the positives in your life, the things that are working and going well. But how many of us devote a lot of our attention and our energy to the negatives, the problems, the worries, the obstacles? You know, there is indeed a time and a place to address the challenges in our lives. However, we don't want to live in denial with rose-colored glasses, even though Principal Cool Cat has rose-colored glasses. They look pretty sharp. I don't have any. But it is important to bear in mind the difference between two very important words that we talked about last week, attention and intention. Recall that attention is directing your mind to an object, and intention is addressing your mind to an outcome. And this is very important because, put succinctly, where attention goes, energy flows. Or in other words, thoughts become words, words become actions, and actions become outcome. As Wayne Muller writes in the book on page 108, at times, rather than attend to those things we love, we give the bulk of our attention to those things that bring us harm, or I might say cause us worry. As we try to heal what has been hurt, we focus all of our care upon those things that are painful. Clearly, our wounds need to be addressed. But when we concentrate exclusively upon our hurt or our fears or our worries, we learn to see the brokenness, the losses, or the injuries that have been given as the most important things in our lives. We sometimes carry those as a badge of courage. I said that, he didn't. We cultivate an attention to these wounds in such a way that over time they occupy the most important place in our heart, the seat of our feeling nature. Our wound lives at the center of our thoughts then, and in this way, we actually come to love our suffering. Holy moly, that's a lot to take in now, isn't it? He goes on to say that we don't actually love pain and sorrow, however, we get attached to them and then allow them to define us. And nobody wants to be defined by that. Remember, where energy goes, attention flows. Where attention goes, rather. So think of it this way, operationally. How many of us spend our daily conversations about those things that are going well? Or how much energy do we spend talking about the people we love? Or how much energy do we give talking about the things we enjoy doing or enjoy being? I'd wager in this particular year, a lot of us are giving a lot of energy to, let's just say, other things. Things that cause us concern. But is that what we really love? Is that what we really want more of? So our work is to fix what needs to be fixed, and there are some big things in our world that could be fixed. And let's move on to brighter days. So I shared just the closing of chapter 4 of Philippians last week that gave us some clues as to how we focus our energy, our attention, and how and on what we can focus our attention. Paul said this, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And I think the house should give an amen. Amen. All right, we got two. So those are the places where we want to put our attention so that they can therefore manifest as intentions. So today, what I want to address is a related question to what do I love? And that question is, where is peace of mind? You know, we often use and talk about love and peace of mind in very close proximity because one can easily lead to the other and vice versa. Along with Mueller today, I'm also going to draw some inspiration from a blogger I read every day, a church leadership blogger from Canada, named Carrie Newhoff. And he had a blog this week that was so on target. I wanted to pull some key concepts because it is directly related to this idea of where is peace of mind. And this is a little bit about what he wrote. He said, "You're probably amazed you've almost survived 2020 as a leader, and I would say as a human being. And if you're thinking ahead like most people, you realize 2021 is just around the corner." And I said to Amy just a moment ago before we started, I said, "Amy, do you realize Christmas is exactly 2 months from today?" We both went into prayer. Anyway, so how on earth do we plan? How on earth do we maintain our peace of mind with all that's already happened and this ambiguousness about what may happen? Well, Newirth identifies the problem, and the problem that keeps us out of peace of mind is worry. And as we say in Unity, worry is simply a misuse of our faculty of imagination. He put it this way in his blog on the 22nd. "Thinking about a problem will lead you to a solution. Worrying about a problem leads you nowhere." You know, Charles Fillmore, co-founder of the Unity Movement, said, "Thought is the most important gift given to humanity by our Creator." And so much of our teaching in Unity and New Thought is about understanding how we think and why we think the way we do. So it is imperative that we understand the difference between worrying and thinking. Thinking gets us out of here. Worrying builds us into a concrete suit and leaves us stuck. So he posited some ideas and some thoughts we need to take into account as we work to attain and maintain peace of mind and also to plan for the future. And one of the ideas he pointed out is uncertainty. And he said just point blank, right now, nothing is really predictable. And if there's anything this particular year has taught us, that's pretty much the case. But then again, it's always been the case. Change is the only constant in life. It's just this year we're seeing it in very big and somewhat unexpected ways. So leading through uncertainty, living in uncertain times, in this case, very uncertain times, requires us to develop a whole new skill set because of the rate of change and how it's coming to us. And so if we want to position ourselves not just to survive, but to thrive, you know, that's the mantra our Board of Trustees has adopted. We are going to thrive within our means. So we're going to thrive in these times. Then what we have to do is develop agility and flexibility. Now, this probably won't come as a surprise to anybody because that's been the name of the game definitely since mid-March, being agile and being flexible. And, you know, this is a real good testimonial for a yoga practice because it helps in our health and well-being as well. We need to keep our bodies flexible and moving so that we can live and thrive in our bodies, just as our minds and our thought processes also have to be agile and flexible to adjust to changing conditions. Now, there is a line in our affirmative prayer for abundance that we're using with the Awesome Autumn Abundance series that says this, "I realize that is, I make real, tangible, that this good God may demonstrate in expected and unexpected ways. And I am alert to seeing blessings in every, not just some, in every situation in my life. That's bold. And that's also highly entrepreneurial. In New Thought, by its nature, the Unity movement is inherently entrepreneurial. After all, one attribute of every successful entrepreneur is the willingness to learn from both success and failure. Because what an entrepreneur knows is both will provide tangible and helpful information about what are next steps that are needed to thrive. You know, we don't look at a failure as, oh, woe is me, it's the end of the world. No, it's like, oh, look at what we learned. Yay, let's build on that. It's another way of saying, as we sometimes teach the children, there is no spot where God is not. There is no spot where God is not. And so it's up to us to make the divine tangible, to make it real, and to bring it into manifestation. And being agile and flexible are the keys. Think about all the great discoveries and advancements that have come to humankind that were either accidental or totally unexpected. Was looking for this and discovered that. I mean, rigidity in thought is the enemy. Rigidity in thought that says it must only be this way will keep us from growing, will keep us from expanding and recognizing the activity of spirit. And let me tell you, spirit works in the box and spirit works outside of the box. So it's imperative for us to be able to be flexible, to recognize and to claim how spirit is moving. Because the truth is, crisis, Carrie Newhoff says, is an accelerator. And many of the changes we've seen this year, such as your home now becoming a daycare center, an elementary school, middle school, high school, undergraduate school, graduate school, cabaret, venue, diner, restaurant, dance hall, exercise facility. You know, all these changes were kind of already happening. They've just been accelerated. We don't have to fear the acceleration. We can welcome it and say, what's coming? And let's be flexible to claim it. You know, he said so succinctly, it was such a beautiful line, the very obstacle you're fearing might be the greatest opportunity you're facing. It all depends on how you look at it. I mean, how unity is that? The very obstacle you're fearing might be the greatest opportunity you're facing. So when I think about the ways in which our online ministry has grown, I realize we are reaching people, not just here in the District of Columbia and Virginia and Maryland, our immediate neighbors, but all around the country and even all around the world. And I thought, great, this is helping us to further our mission and vision of awakening each life to the Christ within, of creating a world that works for everyone. Thank you, COVID. I'm not totally to that point yet, but because I miss all my people right here in the place. That's coming. Rest assured, it's coming. But there are opportunities for us. An entrepreneurial mindset will allow us to claim those and serve and make the world a better place if we will allow it and not call it bad. We can call it inconvenient. We can call it awkward. Definitely unexpected. But we can lean into it. It's kind of like that old joke about the two shoe salesmen who were sent to a far country to start a new market. And one went to the country and he noticed, they both did, and they realized nobody here wears shoes. So the first guy telexed, this is back in the day, sent a telex back to the home office and said, wasted trip, nobody wears shoes, on my way home. The second salesman sent a somewhat different telex. It said, OMG. Won't believe how much money we're about to make. It's all in your perspective. All in your perspective. Now, the second item that, another item that's related to uncertainty is this notion of instability. Instability means that the present circumstances are pretty volatile and unsteady and keep changing all the time. And again, this isn't going to be news to any of us. But the best way to lean into these times, to lead in these times, and to live in these times is to put our resources into the things that are working and gaining traction, and to remove some resources from things that aren't. In other words, we have to experiment. And when something is working, you build on what's working. Kind of like the shoe salesman. It's imperative for us to become aware of the questions we are asking, because the questions that we ask are the ones that get answered. This gets back to the power of thought and what we teach in Unity and New Thought about how very powerful we are. So we can ask the question, what's working in my life now? Or we can ask the question, what's not working in my life right now? Either question will get answered. And there's value in both, because sometimes we need to get some clarity about what to release and, you know, what doesn't deserve any more of our attention. But here's the thing. We cannot build our future on a negative. And that's why we make to-do lists, not to-don't lists. Again, you can't build the future on a negative. You build on the positive. Let's make to-do lists, not to-don't lists. There's another situation that's also in play here. And as you are aware, we are in some strange economic times. You know, it's been surprising to me how sometimes the stock market's had record highs and the number of unemployment is at record highs. I don't get this. And that whole deficit thing, I don't get that either. It's like, there's some weirdness going on here. That's a different talk for a different day. But ultimately, we are advised, and Newhoff advised, that we need to prepare for a season of deep savings and deep charity. It seems to be contradictory, doesn't it? Well, I want to put it in energetic terms. Our energy is our currency. Our energy is the accumulation of our thoughts, our words, our actions. Or in other words, our mind, our heart, our whole being, or simply our consciousness. So we want to use our consciousness in ways that make a constructive difference and bank it for those things. Such things as worry and online social media arguments do not make a constructive difference. It's the same thing with our money. We want to use it wisely in ways that have traction and move us forward. Because the truth is, there is always enough if we are wise stewards of that. And it always begins with, how am I showing up in the world? How am I using my consciousness to be who I want to be, to solve the right problems, to ask the questions where I can make a difference, and we as a unity movement can make a difference? And this idea of deep charity is kind of what undergirds our awesome Autumn Abundance program. It also undergirds the gospel. Deep charity means helping those who need it, whether we know them or not, whether we like them or not. If there is a need, we are called to fill it and to give to the organizations that are making constructive and positive differences in honoring the Christ within everyone, not just the people who look like us or talk like us or act like us or think like us or vote like us, everyone. I remember the line in Matthew 25, and this is a story that we all will know is familiar, and it says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of my brothers and sisters of mine, you have done unto me." And because we are all related, whatever we have done to the least of these, we have ultimately done to ourselves. And if we have harmed them or hurt them or callously watched them go without, we are also victimizing ourselves. There is a line in our awesome Autumn Abundance prayer that addresses this very thing. There is more than enough good for everyone to prosper without the need to cling, grasp, and hoard. There is more than enough good there to manifest as peace, abundance, and respect for all creation. So now let's lean back into that question. Where is peace of mind? Taking all of this into account. Newhoff says, the best thing you can do in times like these is to deepen your personal reserves. So maybe that means take time off, take a vacation, take a sabbatical, or maybe later to Christmas time. But he cautions against that because the most important thing, as he says, is time off won't heal you when the problem is how you spend time on. Time off won't heal you when the problem is how you spend time on. Or in other words, where are you putting your life energy? Where's your intention going? What attention are you focused on? You know what I meant. How are you using your life energy? How are you showing up? You know, when the everyday grinds us down, we're not going to even make it to the vacation. So we have to ensure that every day, in some way, we are engaging with the divine, with the sacred source of all power and all peace. Because the cure for an unsustainable pace is a sustainable pace, he says. So simple, tangible things we can do are say no. No is a complete sentence. I've been told that by many people. I'm still working on it, but say no. Clear off space in your calendar to allow for spontaneity. I love to make lists. I love to have space on my calendar. If I don't put it there, it's not going to happen. So I just now put in some space in my calendar, and it says spontaneity. Okay, so I'll plan to be spontaneous. I'm a J in Myers-Briggs, so I have to plan to be spontaneous. It's just kind of a thing for me. And then we all just have to quit doing the things that don't work. If they don't work, they're not fulfilling your heart, let them go. There's a wonderful old-time hymn that also addresses this. Take time to be holy. You know, it's not only a matter of spiritual growth and development, which we are all about in Unity and New Thought. It's also about survivability in these uncertain and unstable and strange times. Wayne Moeller puts it this way in the material. A few lines of prayer, a devotional chant offered to the divine, a mantra repeated with mindfulness. These are enough. Our Father who art in heaven, Hail Mary full of grace, Om Mani Padme Hum, Sri Ram Jai Ram, Jesus Christ have mercy on me. Calling out from our heart to the heart of God, we speak what cannot be spoken. In other words, he's saying our spiritual practice doesn't have to be ancient or prescribed by an ecclesiastical authority, though it can be. It just has to be meaningful, a meaningful filling of your spiritual tank. So go for a mindful walk. Hug a tree. Seriously, I do this. Bake a cake if that's what gets you centered. Go for a bike ride. Do anything that reminds you and affirms your connection to that divine something that is both infinite and more intimate than your very breath. Whatever you choose to do could be highly personal or very collective. The important thing is that you prioritize your practice. Fill your tank. Take time to be holy. Because that's where you find peace of mind. That's where you find serenity. So in closing today, I invite you to join me in affirming a prayer that has brought peace of mind and serenity to thousands of people. And we'll do so today as well. It's the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Peace be with you and namaste.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.